This show is a proud member of the Nerdy Legion Podcast Network. Get more at nerdylegion.com. Enjoy the show.
This is Brightside Home Theater.
Hey, home theater nerds, it's week 39 of 2020, and welcome to the Brightside Home Theater Podcast, the podcast about the fun we have in our theater. My name is DJ, and you can reach us on Twitter at BrightsideHT, or you can email us at BrightsideHomeTheater@gmail.com. And of course, you can always talk to all of us directly by leaving comments at our website, BrightsideHomeTheater.com. There are spots for comments under all the episodes in all the featured theaters. We got a Lulu of a featured theater this week. This has been so much fun, having a blast with it. Please keep them coming, and if you haven't yet, submit your theater. I'd love to see it, and I've got a few more weeks left, but let's keep it rolling. I'm having so much fun with it. I'd love to see it. Everybody'd love to see it. We're all getting ideas from it. I'm getting comments on it. It's great. Don't be shy. But speaking of seeing things, some of you may have noticed that there's a new theme on Twitter and the website. This is the first week of October, and I'm going to go all spooky and fun this month with a Halloween theme and do all horror movies, or at least horror movies to me. Obviously, we're doing The Invisible Man in 4K today, or in this podcast, and I'm going to wrap up the month with Halloween 2018 in 4K. I had that request last month, I think, and I had already planned that. I thought it would be a good way to kick off the Halloween theme, and I'm like, hey, why not do it on the 30th? But I already have a couple ideas of what I'm going to do. I know what I'm doing next week, but I have a couple openings. So let me know. Email me your suggestions or tweet at me with your suggestions, and if I get a bunch of them, I'll pick three or four of my favorites, and then I'll put those to a vote on Twitter. Kind of get them in early, like say Tuesday the 13th. Does that sound crazy for a deadline? Huh? Get it? Deadline, Tuesday the 13th. We're getting creepy here, aren't we? That's enough on that. We'll talk more about that as the month goes on. Let's see how that goes. So get your suggestions in as soon as you can. And let's move on to the show here. And what did I watch this week? What did I do in my theater? I started out with Ghost in a Shell, the new 4K version. Typically, I'm not a fan of animation in 4K. I don't really see the advantage of taking something animated and making it 4K. I don't get that. But I really love this movie. I've loved this movie since 95. I wanted to hear that Atmos sound. And this is a really good Atmos track. A lot of good overhead usage here. If you're a fan of anime or if you're a fan of this movie, definitely pick this one up. It's worth the upgrade. Another thing I've been watching this week, Steve George, right again. The Long Way Up on Apple TV. I believe it was Steve who recommended this one. Ewan McGregor is such a cool guy. Watching this show makes me want to go watch the prequel trilogy. I even sit through a couple of those that I'm not huge fans of. But such a great documentary, docu-series, if you will. And they travel from the tip of South America all the way up to Los Angeles. We're in the middle of it right now, but they're using electric bikes. And the 4K imagery of everything is really good. The sound is decent. I mean, there's some good panning things going on. It's definitely worth it. But it's a good overall show to watch. My wife and I are really enjoying that one. Another one where I'm watching, and this one's insane, and it's really good. It's on HBO Max, but so you don't have Atmos and you don't have 4K, but it's a really good show, and the sound in it is really, really good considering. In its Lovecraft Country, it's insane. Each episode is unique unto itself. My wife and I aren't really sure. There are times where like, why are we even watching this show? But inside a theater, there's some fun stuff going on. So that one, check it out. I can't guarantee you're going to like it, but there is some fun theater stuff going on in there. New followers this week. We have a few new Twitter followers this week, which seems to be the trend. After Rob H is on or somebody from AV Rant or the HT guys, I get a little bump. And thanks to Rob again for sitting in last week. Had a blast. My new Twitter followers this week are as follows. Neil, Moanis, Matt, Skull Network, Jason, that's Jason with a Y, Mark, Abu, and lastly, Doc NJ Cigar. So I'm guessing Doc New Jersey Cigar. Welcome everyone to Brightside Home Theater. Hope you're enjoying it. And thanks for following along on Twitter. This week's movie recommendations. We only have a couple. We have Beetlejuice coming from Nelson Albino. I hope I'm saying that right. Albino, I'm going to be saying it a lot. It's his movie theater that we're featuring this week. It's Albino, Albino. But Nelson recommends Beetlejuice, and he says, awesome transfer and excellent Atmos. Big improvements over the Blu-ray. I don't own that one yet, but I can pretty much guarantee I will be at some point. And our other recommendation is Netflix's Formula One Drive to Survive, and that comes to us from a new listener, Paul S. He emailed us. And he said, the focus is on team dynamics and relationships, but the Atmos is the best I have heard, and it also has a beautiful 4K picture. And I replied to him in an email saying, yeah, I have seen that show. I fell off it. I was watching it a while back. I want to say back in the wintertime, I started it. I really enjoy Formula One and the... That has been one of those things. There was a Laserdisc years ago or an early Blu-ray, DVD that I really enjoyed. That was Formula One. And I can't think of what the name of it is. And I've Googled what trying to find it. But that one had some of the best 5.1 surround back in the day. And I know that in this Netflix series, they do a really good job as well. I will be picking that up, especially now that Paul has emailed in that as a recommendation. And speaking of which, let's go right into emails, and we'll start out with Paul's email. He emailed me this week. I hadn't heard from him before, so I figured I'll read his first email. He says, hi DJ, got into your podcast recently and absolutely loving them. Thank you for making the pandemic a little more bearable. You regularly say how good Netflix is at sound, and I agree. The best show I have yet heard for Atmos is Formula One Drive to Survive. I wasn't particularly into F1, but a girl in work said that it was interesting as camera teams were embedded in the F1 teams throughout the season. The focus is on team dynamics and relationships, but the Atmos is the best I have heard, and it also has a beautiful 4K picture. You should try it out. Thanks again for the great podcast, and keep up the good work. Stay safe. Regards, Paul. Thanks, Paul. Appreciate it. I appreciate the kind words. It's great when people reach out, especially when they first start listening. We have another first-time listener. Well, first-time emailer, I should say. And this one comes from Gurinder, who is an AV Rant listener. And Gurinder said, hi, DJ. Just thought I would say hi. Been listening to you for a few months now after hearing about your podcast on AV Rant. I think the first episode I listened to was the Jurassic Park episode with Tom. I enjoy your chats. Funny thing, kids are doing online learning using a site called Brightspace. Guess what I call it all the time? You got it, Brightside. Have a good one, Gurinder. And he said, for the pronunciation of my name, you can hear Rob and Lee on AV Rant. And I do remember that podcast, and I hope I'm pronouncing it right. I didn't go back. I just got this before I started recording, so I didn't go back and listen, so I hope I'm getting that right. But he also says, P.S., great job on co-hosting with Rob the other week. I had no idea it was so last minute for you. Yep, it was last minute, and I know each and every one of you listening, if you could sit down at a microphone with them and they called you, you'd. How could I say no? thank you for emailing in. That I love getting those, finding out there's new listeners. I was told when I first started podcasting that it's only like a very small percentage of the people that will actually email and communicate with you. You don't know how many people are out there. So when people email in, it's so great. I really appreciate it. And I know you've been, Gurinder had been listening for a few months, and here he is, just appearing to me now. But thank you for listening. Thank you for the support. And let's stick with some more emails, or another email here from a longtime listener, or he's been around. He's been listening as long as I can remember, and it only goes back almost a year. But John M., he emailed me this week, and it's something I found very interesting, so I thought I'd read this email. John says, something I found interesting, I bought Shout Factory remaster of Escape from New York. Pretty good transfer, but when I first watched it, there was a computer screen with green lettering that was totally illegible. Just a green glow. Looked it up online, and others said the same thing, but one guy said it was not the disc, but a setting in your TV. I put in my old DVD of the movie, and I could read it also. When I paused the Blu-ray, I could read it. Strange. I watched Blu-ray versus 4K on two different settings. I adjusted dynamic contrast, and bam, I could read it, and then I adjust it back, and it's illegible. I think this would be a good test to check your display settings, because many people are convinced it's a problem with the disc, but it is a flaw with your display settings. Person online said it was a motion control setting doing it, but mine was a different setting with same result. By the way, scene where they're hitting cars with stones and sticks on bridge sounds great upmixed. So I found that very interesting, because Rob and I were talking last week about how important it is to get the correct settings on your TV. And for people like, you go into somebody's house and everything's bloomed out or something. But an instance like what John is talking about here, we wouldn't even know if we weren't watching these movies multiple times. If this was John's first viewing of this, he would have thought that's what it's supposed to look like. So it's part of the hobby, and I thought that was really cool that he emailed me all those details. He actually emailed me later. I asked him for a timestamp. I think he said it was around the 10-minute mark. I don't own that movie, but now I want to, and I want to check that out. And let me know if anybody else has this movie and has seen that. But that's pretty cool. Pretty cool. So let's get into some tweets. The first one, we're going to lead off with what I call the ultimate compliment. Adriano with the ultimate compliment on Twitter. He tweeted from @AdrianoTweets87. When you're watching a movie and notice a sound you wouldn't normally take real notice of, but now you do because DJ mentioned it in an episode of Brightside Home Theater. Thanks, Adriano. You get me. That's what I tweeted back. He gets me. I hope I'm doing that. A lot of these movies, they get repetitive. In this one today, I'm going to be saying, oh, that's really cool, and this is really cool, and this is really cool. That's what happens. We get so wrapped up in these movies, and there's so many fun scenes. I hope every now and then I'm bringing a scene that, you maybe didn't hear about before. You didn't notice a sound before. That's what I'm trying to look for. And, every now and then I might find one. So thanks, Adriano, for noticing. I really appreciate it. OD Photography had a question this week @OmarDelgado72. And he asked a question about why some movies have higher megabits per second. And I'm going to be honest with you, I have this in my notes, but I haven't had time to research it. My mind doesn't work like Rob H's, so I actually have to learn about this. And I am going to do this one next week. I'm moving this one to next week's notes because I really want to learn about this too. We'll get to another question in a second. But I've always wondered that too. I figured there's more information, but I want to know exactly why. So I'm going to do my best to actually answer this next week. So how's that for big market teas? We're pushing this one. I'm going to table this one. It's been a crazy week, so I'm trying to get this done. And honestly, I sat down to record and I realized I forgot to research this one. So we'll do this one next week. But OD did have another question. He asked me and Steve George, Steve @LegalBeagle, okay. And he said, question, I normally don't stream, but I have noticed when I stream via Fire Stick, the audio is a lot lower than if I stream, say, via the Blu-ray player. Nothing changed. just swapping inputs to go from Fire to Blu-ray. Thoughts? So my first thoughts are, these are questions for like AV Rant and HT guys, but these are also questions I try to work out myself. We went back and forth on Twitter about this. So here's my process. First thing is, if I have two different audio levels on two different sources, I'll swap the HDMI inputs to see if it's actually the sources or if it's the receiver's volume out level is different on each one. And there's a bunch of different settings inside of all the different receivers. So I'll work through that. If I find that it's not the receiver, then it could be either of the, you know, the Blu-ray or the Fire Stick. And you can go into the Fire Stick and look to see if there's different settings. Are you on the wrong kind of output? Are you, you know, is there a volume control? There's a million different things that I would try to work through before I email Tom and Rob at AV Rant or Ara and Braden at HT Guys. I would try to work through it. And a lot of times you can figure it out yourself just by process of elimination. But with this particular question, I would guess that in my experience, it's most likely the Fire Stick. I've never been a big fan of Amazon's hardware. I love their content. They have a lot of great content, but their hardware leaves a little bit to be desired. And like we said on Twitter talking about this, it was, you know, I really like the Apple TV. It just does such a great job with putting through good content and also up converting lesser content. And your audio just always seems to be the most consistent on that one. And I have far less problems like this when I'm using my Apple TV. But these questions are fun things that we do in our theaters. I love to try and figure this stuff out. So thanks for the questions, Omar. Couple of fun ones to work out. Something fun I like to do in my theater. Also on Twitter, another fun thing that maybe I can do in my theater. Francis Amoko tweets at me. He's from @boogie236. And he tweeted at me about the Hi-Fi Summit coming up at the end of the month. And it's October 22nd through the 26th, and I guess it's the fourth one of the year, but this is something that I'm actually kind of interested in. I hope I can pop into it. It seems to be going on when I'm working, but I'm hoping I'm be able to check these things out because this is just a hobby for me, and I haven't been able to get to any of the trade shows for this. And now with one of the positives of COVID, if it can be a positive, they're doing all this stuff online, and people that normally couldn't go would be able to go. So if you want to check it out, go to thehifisummit.com. There's a countdown there, and you can see the stuff that's going to be coming up at the end of the month. Like I said, the 22nd through the 26th. So thanks for the heads up, Francis. And the last tweet I got from Graham Cole @GrahamboX. He says, @BrightsideHT, I saw you were interested in Plex servers, and I suggest @_bitemybits, that's B-Y-T-E, my bits, YouTube channel. Good videos on chucking drives and NAS reviews. I love my Plex server. So I watched a few of those videos, and they were pretty cool, very informative. I also got an email this week from Nelson, and we'll be talking about his Zapedi. He has a Zapedi as well. So I'm looking into all of these servers. And yes, Nelson and Graham, you're both right. I am very excited about this. I have some reservations in my research that I've been doing from information looking up both the Plex and the Zapedi. But I would love to do this. I would love to try and do it a little bit more affordable. It looks like it's going to be a lot of fun, but I do not want to sacrifice the quality of a disc, you know, to be able to get the best sound and the best picture. So if anybody has any other information, I know Nelson, you said some of your, in your Zapedi, you said that the quality is outstanding. Yes, I am looking for more information on that. Not necessarily from you. I'm going to be doing research. I don't want anybody to think they have to give me information. But yeah, that's it. So before we get to this week's theater, everybody, thank you for supporting. Please keep emailing, keep tweeting. You can email brightsidehometheater@gmail.com, or you could tweet at me @brightsidehT. And with that, let's get to this week's theater, which if you'd like to have your theater featured here, you could do the same thing. You could email me or tweet me pictures of your theater. Email is the best. Or you can DM me on Twitter. It's just hard to find it later. Hard to find the pictures if they're in my Twitter feed. But if you DM me, I can always find them because you'll have your own folder. Or if you email me, it's very easy to find. So Nelson emailed me back in August. His theater. Now, let's run down this list before we go over these pictures, and it is quite a list. So here is all of Nelson's equipment. He has a Stuart 100-inch four-way electric mask Studio Tech 130 G3, a JVC DLA NX9 4K 8K E-Shift projector, a TiVo Mini, an Oppo UDP 205, an Apple TV 4K, a Zepedi Pro 4K HDR, Panasonic UB 9000, a Pioneer Elite CLD 99 LD player. That's Laserdisc, boys and girls. He has two Panamax 5300s. He has Spectracle Kalman calibration software, X-Rite I1 Pro spectrometer, X-Rite I1 Display Pro colorometer, Logitech Harmony Ultimate, Philips Hue lighting, Nest Home Control. I have those three things. An Amazon Echo Dot. I do not have that. I don't like voice command. Sorry. He has Marantz AV 8802 714 Atmos Odyssey XT32 receiver, an Air K5 MP stereo preamp, Enlighten Audio Design DSP100 HD CD digital analog converter, a Clear Audio concept turntable, a Shite Manny phono preamp. I hope that's Shite. It's spelled S-H-I-T-T. A Rotel RB1070 two-channel amp, Atmos, top front. A Rotel RMB1095 five-channel amplifier, side and back channels. A Rotel RB933 three-channel amp, Atmos, top back. An Air two-channel V5 XE amp for the left and right front channels. A Vandersteen Audio 3A Signatures front, left, and right. Vandersteen VCC5 for your center channel. Vandersteen VSM for sides, rears, top, middle, and top fronts. Dual SVS PB16 Ultra subwoofers. And a do-it-yourself window acoustic panels. And a VTI audio racks holding it all together. Great googly moogly. That is a lot of equipment. When he sent this to me, he sent it to me in an email and he explained, like, his love of Laserdisc goes along with my love of Laserdisc. And when I saw these pictures, when I first looked at them, I got the sense that he was born into home theater at the same time I was. When we go through these pictures, there's very much a feel of how I feel and what I would want to have someday. So let's get to these pictures. So this first picture we're looking at is, I would assume, his home theater lobby. And like, this is what I would like to have too. I would love to have a room outside my main room and just the memorabilia. Look at the racks of movies he has. He has theater rope. That's something I thought of. My wife saw this. She was like, what? Theater rope? I was like, yeah. She says, what good is that? I was like, "What? Who cares what good it is? That's what we want. I want theater rope. And he has it. I've had that idea. It's fantastic. All the little knickknacks around the room. There's so much. You don't even have to get into the theater. Just sit down on this couch and you just look around the room and there's conversations to be had. The next picture, you have the popcorn machine. That's what jumps out to me there. That's the same popcorn machine pretty much that I have. And he has the popcorn holders on top. If you look at my picture of myself and on my webpage, which if you're looking at these pictures, that's where you are. I have that, basically those popcorn holders. Mine are plastic. I don't know if those are plastic, but mine look just like that. It's, I mean, I love the film reels going down the stairs. Beautifully done. So much detail here. And then you go to the next picture and he has cabinets filled with Star Wars memorabilia. If I could direct you to the Brightside Chat on Star Wars Day back in May, my buddy, my co-host on Brightside Chat, we did a whole Star Wars episode on his memorabilia. He has quite the collection. I could actually, you know what? I should post the pictures on here. I will someday. But he has a great collection of Star Wars memorabilia. Check that podcast out. If you go to the Nerdy Legion, go to nerdylegion.com, look up Brightside Chat and scroll back. It should still be there. Actually, I know it is still there. But getting back to Nelson's theater here, you see the theater rope is on. We're looking at the cabinets full of Star Wars memorabilia. We still have more shelves of Blu-rays. Nice pictures on the wall. It's a clock. It looks like a record that's turned into a clock. A lot of Star Wars pictures and memorabilia on top of the shelves. So much detail, so much to talk about when you have people over, just stand in front of that. And then the next picture, you have all of these mini posters on the wall, just so nicely framed, so nicely displayed. And I don't want to miss out on the opportunity to say how perfectly they're aligned. As someone who has hung many picture frames for my wife, many posters for myself, look at the symmetry here. They're all equally balanced out. I mean, there's not a crooked one in the bunch, and they're perfectly placed. The negative space between them is perfect. Beautiful. And then the posters themselves. You got Jaws, you have Terminator 2, Raiders of the Lost Ark, Braveheart, Star Trek, Jurassic Park, Batman, Spider-Man, Far From Home. So you span decades here. It's beautiful. The next picture looks to be like a pulled back view of the waiting room. I guess if it's you're waiting for your turn to watch a movie, which I wouldn't mind hanging out here and waiting. And we have the Millennium Falcon rug. That's awesome. Obviously, you see both theater ropes now leading you into where the theater is. And now, from what I understand, we are in the theater here. If you go to the next picture and you have those individual paintings that are put together for the Millennium Falcon scene. That's beautiful scene. But this shelf of all Star Wars, well, I don't know if it's all Star Wars memorabilia, but you have Planet of the Apes statuettes. You have some Star Wars stuff. But if you notice that Star Wars thing, boys and girls, right behind the new box set, the new Blu-ray box set of Star Wars, that square box behind it, that is the deluxe special edition box set laser disc of Star Wars, the original trilogy. I have that myself. I actually don't have my original copy. I sold mine for $50 a few years ago. I since have rebought it because I want that in my collection, but I bought it for $40, so I made $10. Look at me. The next picture we get to the rack system. Very impressive. This was one of the things that I looked at when I first saw the group of pictures that he sent me. And that's what made me realize, like, it's the same feel that I have. I don't know why, because if you scroll down, well, I think the next picture is a picture of the Zapiti that he had just recently sent me. Beautifully displayed here. I love the now playing with pitch black on it. Oh, also there next to the Zapiti is his Harmony remote. And if you scroll back up quickly, you'll notice the Harmony remote in this picture is on the other side of the Zapiti. Little details that I notice. But anyways, now we're scrolling back down to a close-up of the rack. And it's this picture here that it really is, I don't want to slight it at all, but it gave me that 80s feel. This feels like somebody that, like myself, that came out of the 80s. Those Rotel amplifiers, that just the way this is displayed, this is something that I feel like it comes out of the 80s, and it's that 80s influence that makes you, I don't know why I want Rotel amplifiers, but I have a Rotel receiver. It doesn't have HDMI, so I don't use that one anymore. But I always wanted a Rotel. I saw this. You have your Pioneer Elite, which you could tell by the wood grain on the sides. That's the Pioneer Elite Laserdisc player there. It's on the right side of the picture on the upper part of the rack. And like I said, the wood grain, that's what distinguishes the Elite. Those are the nicer ones. I believe this one, Nelson, you'll tell, you know, you don't have to flip the disc. If you remember back in the day, we used to have to get up in the middle of the movie or a third of the way of the movie. God forbid it had three sides or maybe four sides like a Braveheart. And if you scroll down, there's a close up of your Pioneer Elite Laserdisc player. Love those. Love them. And I believe all of this is displayed at the back of his theater, because if you scroll down to the next picture, we have, it looks like you were walking into the theater. We have home theater, turn off all cell phones. Nice signage here with the, you could see the little switch, light switch underneath. You're being welcomed into the theater. Below that, we have more plaques, pictures of plaques. He has the DTSX going from the bottom to the top, Dolby Atmos, JVC, 4K. You have 4K HDR, Odyssey. And then below that, we are in the theater. Gorgeous, gorgeous theater. I love the black door. I love the sound dampening, the sound absorption panels on the walls. Look at those speakers. Very impressive. Black leather chairs. You scroll down, you can see the picture of a close-up of the JVC projector. Beautiful projector. Very, very jealous of that projector. Then the next picture below that, we have a shot from looking back at the room from the screen, and you see very simplified. I love the grayish or white walls, light gray with the dark panels, but then you also have the dark black, you know, the speakers on the walls. And then the next picture has the shot from the rear of the room looking up at the screen. Same idea. The whole front wall is all blacked out. And then you could see the light gray walls along the side. Very clean look. Very, very nice. I love the black baseboards as well. The black trim. Very nice. Great accent here. Not distracting to your eyes at all, I don't think, during a movie watching. Then the next picture has, you know, we're looking at the screen with the screen on. Looks like he has the Zapedi powered up and he's going to watch, I'm going to guess, Dark Knight. Really, really cool. And then the last picture is a way to display your laser discs that he told me about. That looks really, really nice. And I have like over 200 something laser discs myself. And I do own True Lies. I have Raiders. I have Fifth Element. I have Aliens. One I would swap here. I would love to get The Abyss and put it in a frame like this, because that's a movie that's not even out right now. Same with True Lies, to be honest, or Raiders. But those are the movies that would look really, I think would look really cool. And people don't know what they are. A lot of people would come into your house. I'm sure they come into his house and say, what is that? It looks like a record. But he can actually play it for them. He still has a working Pioneer Laserdisc player and all these Laserdiscs. So that's pretty, pretty cool. This has been a lot of fun. This theater takes me back to the 80s. Thank you, Nelson, for contributing. This has been a lot of fun for me. All of these theaters are so much fun. I'm seeing so many different perspectives. I wish I had the knowledge of equipment like Rob has. I just don't, but I am learning so much watching this stuff, and it's just fascinating, fascinating. Thank you very much. Thank you to everybody that's been contributing. Keep them coming. Love to feature your theater and show it off and let everybody, you know, get new ideas, because I'm getting new ideas from my theater. Look at me. I'm looking at a media server, and we'll see. But let's get to this week's movie, The Invisible Man. Have a little story to tell, but before we get to that, let's play the trailer. We'll get to all of the goodness that The Invisible Man has. And no, I am not a hypocrite, Steve, and you'll hear about that on the other side. So let's push play on the trailer.
Adrian? He was a sociopath. He said that I could never leave him. He controlled how I looked and what I wore. Then I was controlling when I left the house. And eventually, what I thought. I'm sorry, I can't take you with me. I'm not gonna leave you with that single. to him.
Adrian's dead.
Listen, you're getting your freedom back, okay?
He said that wherever I went, he would find me. Walk right up to me, and I wouldn't be able to see him. Adrian is dead.
He's not dead.
He has figured out a way to be invisible. Sitting in that chair.
Yeah, surprise! I am reviewing this movie. Full disclosure, I did not like this movie when I first saw it. I was looking at this movie through my men's glasses. Men's full on. My wife tells me all the time, you're a typical male, typical guy. I see a problem, I fix problem. That's how I do things. I didn't look at this through the lens of the woman or a battered woman. And thank you very much to Steve George for setting my mind straight, setting my vision straight on this movie. I hated the beginning of this movie because in my perception, it was, and this isn't, we're going spoiler free at the beginning if you haven't seen this movie, but at the very beginning of this movie, the woman escapes. Cecilia, she escapes from her husband, I guess, right? And I was looking at it as, okay, well, she got away. What's the problem? Well, then she hides out for 2 weeks, but at a policeman's house. And again, this isn't spoilers. This is all in like the first 5 minutes of the movie. So I'm like, if you're hiding at a policeman's house, why don't you just report the guy and go pick the guy up? And that is my, so the rest of the movie after that was tainted for me because I was like, this is just all stupid and unbelievable because you just go get the guy and arrest him, completely forgetting and ignoring the fact that when somebody has been beaten and somebody has been abused like this, they're petrified. And the last thing they want is attention. And the last thing they're afraid, as you'll see how this movie plays out, and it's a great depiction of that. And I had many people tell me that this is a great movie to see, and it's a and it was. And when I first saw it, I loved the sound in this movie. And I'll get to the picture and sound in a second. But I feel like I have to come clean here because this is something that happens to me a lot. It's like I'm not that bright, and embarrassingly, like somebody will tell me about a song. I'll be like, oh, I don't like that song. And then they'll tell me the meaning of it. And now it's my favorite song. So sometimes I don't pick up on things that maybe I should have. Other times I find meaning in stuff that is meaningless. So it's kind of a balance with me. But in this movie in particular, it was, like I said, Steve George, we had had a conversation a while ago at Legal Beagle OK on Twitter, and he pointed out to me, being a lawyer over in the UK, he pointed out to me that he has seen this firsthand. He has seen women on this side of it, and he understands, and it gave him that appreciation. So when I went to watch this the second time, and now since seen it a third time and a fourth time, I looked at it through that lens, and I said, wow, it nails it. This movie nails that. And now you ramp in the appreciation of the sound that I have for this movie with that meaning. It's a very powerful movie, as we'll see as we play out throughout the movie and the different scenes and the way they utilize sound in this movie was just incredible. But it's funny how the meaning of the movie or my perception of the movie or anybody's perception for that matter can be changed by something like that. And it's like, that's the male mind. If I could, you know, hey, I'm a male. That's the male mind. We see a problem, we solve problems. So I had this problem solved in this movie in the first 5 minutes. And then the rest of the movie, I couldn't understand anything because I'm like, none of this would happen. They just go get him. But understanding that maybe she doesn't want it reported, she doesn't want the attention, she doesn't want this, she's petrified. Now this movie plays out. I love this movie. So let's get to the picture. The picture I didn't think was that great. It was a 4K picture. I didn't think the HDR was as good as it could have been. There are a lot of dark scenes here that I thought felt a little bit washed out. It's not horrible. Doesn't detract from the movie. I mean, the movie's called The Invisible Man, so you could basically watch this movie blindfolded and still have the same effect because the sound in this movie is that good. But in the picture, I thought that there was a little bit of detail in the shadows. I thought that could have been more. It didn't lend itself a lot to the HDR, and it didn't really, nothing to write home about. So let's move on from that. But the sound in this, which is Dolby Atmos, and it does default to Dolby Atmos, so you can leave your blindfold on and just start the movie. It is a reference level movie for sound. This from beginning to end, because of the highs and the lows in the high dynamic range of sound in this movie. The scenes, some of these scenes are very quiet, but they're not quiet. There's tons of engagement going on throughout this movie from beginning to end. All of your speakers are going to be doing something, even in the quietest scenes, just setting the tone of the, you know, the sounds inside a room that we'll talk about in a minute. So you'll hear ventilation sounds, stuff like that. The bass in this movie really sets the tone. Ba-dum-ching. So there's tons of bass. There's that sweeping bass that I thought would be in the trailer, but I didn't hear it in there. But there's this really nice bass that I mentioned right at the beginning in one of the opening scenes. But then there's also a very nice use of subtle bass throughout the movie. And I do make note of the subtle bass. There's one in particular that I really liked. And you'll hear that as we get through the scenes too. But very nice subtle bass, not a ton of big thumping deep bass. There is one scene that I do mention that I thought was probably the loudest and heaviest bass that you'll get. But there is a lot, and there is a few scenes where it feels like your eyeballs are going to pop out of your head, where the whole room is vibrating. But some of that subtle bass that if you're not listening at reference level, you may not get it. It may just, you know, not be audible enough if you're not listening at reference level. There's great use of discrete channels around, like I said, around the room. The very crisp highs, very crystal clear dialogue throughout. Never had a problem hearing anybody speak. And great pans, great use of accurate placement of sound in this movie. Nothing like an Empire Strikes Back where it just seemed to be misplaced. Everything seemed to be dead on. It was very well used. And there's a couple of scenes where I really make note of it, and they're really, really worth checking out and a lot of fun. And one scene in particular is, I consider it almost a reference scene because it's so much fun to put somebody in your room and go, listen to this, and you'll hear the sound move around your room. It's pretty cool. So with that, we have the popcorn popping. I've come clean. I apologized. Hey, we all make mistakes. But the popcorn's popping. Let's get into the spoilers and start breaking down some scenes. All right, as always, let's get right into the opening of this movie, which was really, really cool. The Universal logo sweeps right around your room. Very deep. Sounds awesome. Then we get that little bit of vibrate. Not even a little bit. It's a very strong vibration that goes on throughout this movie. You're going to hear it throughout, but it's a vroom, vroom. You get a little bit of that, and then we gradually get into the waves, and it ramps up very quickly, but you can hear them coming, and the waves just start crashing over you from behind the room to the front of the room. The bass is underneath you. You can feel it in your seat. This is just an awesome, easy to get to reference scene that to show people what it's like. Sit down in your room and you'll feel these waves crashing over your head on the rocks in front of you, which is the logos, which was a pretty cool effect. And this goes on for about a minute and a half, almost exactly a minute and a half. And then we go to dead silence, which is pretty cool because the scene plays out. She's in her bedroom. She's sneaking out of the bed and everything, but you can hear the waves in the background as she moves around the room. The waves kind of move around the room. Not as much as I would have liked. I would have liked a little bit better localization with that, but it's still a really cool effect, especially how the waves start this movie out really crashing down, and then we just go to dead silence at like almost the 1 minute 35 second mark. It's pretty cool. Like I said, almost a minute and a half of great bass, great special effects, great sound, which this movie really has, and it just really sets the tone right off the bat. Then we jump to 6 minutes and 30 seconds. Go back to maybe 6:20 and you'll build the scene here. This is where she's trying to escape the house, and she really is like just sneaking around. It's really quiet. But of course, right at 6 minutes, 31 seconds, 32 seconds, like I said, back it up to like 6:25. This is where she kicks the dog bowl. And it's like, to me, this was like the first real jump scene of the movie, 6 minutes in. And it, I mean, you had to know something like this was coming watching this movie, but it was really cool. Not a ton of bass, which you would expect with a dog bowl. I thought it was very accurate for a dog bowl. Very high pitched, but that banging noise. But then you also heard a little bit of like the kibble flying across the floor. And it sounded like it moved from like the front to the rear speakers, I believe. Something like that. But it's a really cool little jump scene from here. But overall, there's also all during the quiet scenes, it's not 100% quiet. I mean, she's sneaking around the house and you can hear like ventilation going, and her breathing, of course. It's a it's setting the tone. It's very quiet. It's supposed to be quiet, but your room is very active even during the most quiet scenes. Of course, you're also getting that little, it's that vibration bass that's going on that's unique to this movie, or very distinctive to this movie, that really setting the tone. I don't know if that's a tone or if it's just like, it's just getting your, you know, anticipation up of something's going to come out of the shadows or something is going to scare you here. Then at 8:25, she's about to go over the wall. The score is ramping up. It's getting louder and louder. Just the anticipation, the fear is growing in you. And the bass is really nice. You could feel each piece of bass in your seat. But then as this scene plays out at about the 8 minute 40 second mark or so, you can hear the violins, and they seem to be over your head. Violins, fiddles, cello, I don't know. My wife knows that stuff. I don't. But it's almost like they're moving back and forth over your head. It's a pretty cool little effect. You're probably not going to get that until the second or third viewing because you're so into the scene. But then on second viewing and third viewing, listen to where the music is coming from in your room. It's really, really cool. Then jumping to 12 minutes and 8 seconds, this is the mailbox where she goes outside for the first time. And when she steps outside, her foot steps down on the mat, you get that nice deep bass. You can feel it in your seat. But what I liked about this scene was how everything, just her focus just went to like going to the mailbox. So all the sound went away, like zoomed out. And the way they did that for you, the viewer, I thought was really cool. This reminded me of, I did the ride once at an amusement park where you just drop 100 feet. me and my friends were in the box that you're in. It's like an elevator. It brings you out to the edge, and the last thing you can hear is the clink when the pins pull, so then you just start dropping, and you're falling, just free falling 100 feet, but how the entire world's sound went away. You don't hear anything. And up until then, you can hear people, the chatter of the amusement park, the screaming kids and everything on the ground. And then all of a sudden you hear that clink, the pins pulled away, and we started dropping. And as the horizon line goes from being down by where your feet are, you know, relatively speaking, as it rises up, what was very distinct to me is all sound went away. And this scene is very much like she's panicking, like, I got to get to the mailbox, or she's so scared that she can't focus on any sounds or anything like that. And it's her entire walk to the mailbox until she hears that jogger coming up. I thought was a very, very cool scene on how they did that. And it really gave you that effect of how afraid she really was to be out there. And a lot of this movie is the absence of sound. So that scene was really cool. But the idea of, like, everything is being built throughout this movie of your highs and your lows, sound wise, her personality, her fear, everything. It's all the extremes in this movie. And the next scene at 20 minutes and 50 seconds, I really like, because it's supposed to be a quiet scene. It's the meeting where they're reading the will. It's supposed to be a quiet scene in an office. Obviously, the dialogue is really good here. But listen to the winds going on around you. I felt like the winds were over my head, like just like they would be in that room. Like, it looks like it's a skyscraper, so you're way up in the sky. You can hear the winds outside. You can hear the city sounds. You can hear some sirens. But listen to the ambient sounds in this scene. This is the scene I went back to, and I played a couple of times to listen to all of the different sounds. It's pretty cool. And for a scene that's just supposed to be about, you know, them meeting and reading the will, I thought it was a pretty cool scene on that aspect. And getting into more quiet scenes, this scene, start this at about 24 minutes and about 40 seconds. And she's unpacking the stuff that she's bought, and it's very quiet. I believe this is her bedroom where she's staying. And it is just very quiet, and you can hear crickets, of all things. But she moves across the room, and at about the 25 minute and like 10 second mark, maybe 9 second mark, she's facing a wall, and you can hear the ticking noise all of a sudden comes up at the back of your room. Almost like it's not your right rear channel, and it's not your right side channel. It's almost in between there. So I feel like they did a really good job of mixing that. I have both, you know, side rears and rears. And I thought it was scary. It was spooky. Pretty cool. But she turns around and looks to the back of your room. But it's this very, and I guess it's what we would be calling, like, the suit is making the noise, but obviously you can't see anything because the suit makes you invisible. It's pretty cool how you're anticipating something big to happen, and instead of giving you that something big, they give you that whatever it is in the background, and it's really, really cool. Plays out, like I said, start this early on at like 24 minutes and 40 seconds, and it plays out for a while. Then the scene goes right to bacon, really loud, so it's been really quiet, but it holds you in suspense there. And then the scene opens up with bacon at like the 25 minute and 30 second mark. But then just let this scene play out, because at the 25 minute and about 46 second mark, we get an awesome conversation between Cecile and James. James enters the room on the left. Cecile's making breakfast, almost center channel, almost like just off center to the right. They have a conversation, and then he leaves for work, but the pan is so perfect here. You can hear him leave, go off screen, and then he actually goes further away. You can hear him getting to the door, the front door, but he keeps going further and further. The sound appears to be getting further and further away. The camera is just fixed. It's a fixed frame shot, whatever you call it, dead on in the middle of the kitchen. And she's talking. Her voice is coming from where it should be, right in the middle there with her. But his voice trails off and goes to basically your side rear channel on the left. And it pans out so nicely, so perfectly. And then she leaves to go wake up Sid, and she walks in that same direction. But as she's walking away, there's a slight little rumble. Can't feel it in your seat right away, but there's a slight little rumble in the room that builds as she's trying to wake Sid up to go to school. And then she comes back, and the rumble is building, and now you can feel a little bit in your seat, but this is where the kitchen catches fire, and then Sid comes running in, and Cecile tries to put it out, or she's about to put it out with water, and Sid says no. But the pans here are so good. This is such a good scene. I love the pans here. I'm going to call it a borderline reference scene, because the pans are so good. And if you bring somebody into your room, this is so much fun, because people love it when stuff goes by, because I know I do, when stuff goes by and then comes back in. And it's pretty cool because the view that you're getting is fixed. Just a lot of fun. This is a lot of fun. Then jumping to 3141, this is another quiet scene. She steps outside. Cecile thinks she hears something. She steps outside the house, and this is where I could tell, even the first time I saw this, I wasn't crazy about the breath that you could see coming off of Cecile. Like, you knew that, like, so they CGI'd her breath, and that allows them to CGI his breath. I knew it was coming. I knew it was coming a mile away. I wasn't crazy about the CGI here. I thought it would have been cooler if they left it a little bit more, I don't know, a little more subtle. Made her breath look a little more subtle. And then it would have been nicer. But what I really liked here was the sound. So you hear her breath. It's one of those very quiet scenes, very good ambient surround around the room. Almost like all channels are engaged, but very, very subtly giving you that outdoor feel. And you can hear her breath like you can through most of this movie. But then when that breath comes at the left side of your screen, and it's like upper left of your screen, almost dead on. Obviously, it's not dead on because there's no speaker there, but it looked and sounded dead on to me. And it's like when you heard that breath, I didn't know where it was going to come from, but there it was right on the left of your screen. And even the sound appeared to be a little bit higher than where my speaker actually is. I thought that was really good. That's 3141 is about where the breath actually appears. Check that out. Like I said, I'm not crazy about the actual CGI of it, but I love the sound effects here. Did a really good job. Then jumping to 37 minutes, 31 seconds. We have her panic attack when she has her meeting about the job interview. It's this scene here. This isn't a quiet scene. It starts off as a normal meeting, but you can feel it building. The sound is building as she realizes she doesn't have any of her portfolio with her. The sound is building, and I felt like the first time I saw this, I thought we were going to get more to like that mailbox effect where the room just went whoosh and all the sound went away, but it didn't. It built on the sound here. And then the vibrations in the bass sweeping back and forth across your room. His voice, the interviewer, his voice was like normal to start, but then of course it starts echoing, which is all in her head, and your room just gets filled with noise, like you're in her head, and the way everything vibrated. And then it pans out to the screen goes to a city shot, and you can hear the ambulances, but still the fullness of sound in your room was really, really cool. Really slamming home that sense of panic that she had. Going to 39 minutes and 47 seconds, we get a really cool use of that vibration sound, that bass, to really, it fills you, it almost borderlines, if they went a little further with it, it would give you a headache. It fills your room that much. the subwoofers are so active throughout this movie, but this one scene here really exemplifies exactly what's going on throughout this movie with that sweeping bass going really, really low. If your stuff isn't like nailed down, you're probably going to hear some rattles in your room. But this scene here where she looks at the diazepam, the bottle, and she starts to realize he's still alive, and the panic that is again setting in, and it's just, your room is just getting filled with this bass. It's really, really fun. Jumping to 47 minutes and 25 seconds. This scene here, this is another jump scene. This was one, the first time I saw this movie, I did not see this coming. You're anticipating something, but you don't, and I didn't at least anticipate this. And this is where Cecile punches Sydney, and, or that's what you're supposed to believe, or that's what Sydney thinks anyways. It's a very quiet scene. You have Cecile on the floor and you have Sydney trying to help her out. She's talking to her. And as Cecile starts to get up, and all of a sudden that bait, and it's not even a strong bass, like punch to the chest. You have some nice bass in there, but it sounds like a punch to the face. Like it's a little bit higher, almost like, you know, a fist hitting, you know, a skull. And it's just, the detail here is so good. And for that little girl, you're watching this scene, and little girl, she's probably 17, 16, 17 years old. She's going to college. That punch, it's not overdone. Whereas in some movies you watch and that somebody gets punched to the face and there's a giant bass feel in your room and you'll feel it in your chest, which is all well and good, but that's not what it's like in real life when you get punched in the face. It's, you don't feel it in your chest. You feel it in your face. And this one really came off very accurate in my opinion. Moving along to 52 minutes and 14 seconds, we have a nice subtle effect here. It starts off very subtle with the phone ringing. You're not really sure where it's coming from, but as she starts to realize on the screen where it's coming from, you start to hear it over your head, which I thought was really cool. Phone's coming from, the ringing's coming from the attic. There it is, over your head. It moved gradually up there, which I thought was pretty cool. Pretty cool scene. Very quick. Like I said, 52 minutes and 14 seconds, and it, you know, you'll hear it. But let this scene play out for a little bit, because when she gets up into the attic looking for the phone, there's a lot of nice sounds up there, a lot of creaking, a lot of nice ambient sounds going on up in that attic. It's really, really nice. And then it moves to 56 minutes and about 20 seconds. And now we have another jump scene where she's up in the attic. You're not really sure what's about to happen. You know, something's coming. They've been building the tension this entire time. And if you're listening to this podcast, now you're listening to all the fun sounds up in the attic. And then she takes that bucket of paint and she dumps it down onto the ladder, and the room just explodes with sound. The bass goes through you, making you almost jump out of your seat. Just a great, great use of sound here to really move this along. It's so good, so good. Then again, let this scene play out. As this goes on, she comes down from the ladder. She's looking for him. You get them, that nice bass sweeps again. That's from this movie. That's distinct to this movie. And then at 58 minutes and 48 seconds is when he finally shows himself, or he doesn't show himself. Actually, she just gets grabbed in the kitchen. But the anticipation that's built up until then with the sound, it's incredible. But then you have that another jump scene at 58 minutes and 48 seconds, and your room, which you thought was really active up until now during this scene, and then everything in the room comes alive. All your speakers are engaged. She's lifted off the ground. Pretty cool visual effect. But again, the bass that comes right up through you and the sound just making this scene come alive. She gets slammed against the wall, which is on the left side of the room. She hits him with a frying pan, but before the frying pan, you can hear a reverb in the bass. There's a texture to the bass, if you will. It, really cool. But like the score and everything is building. It's so loud like I said, the room is alive, but you still have some discrete sounds going on around the room. Like the knife gets thrown away. You can hear that clanking away. And like I said, she gets slammed into the left side of the room against the wall. She's being dragged, then thrown over a table. And the sounds are just, there's discrete sounds moving around your room, but all the while, everything is as loud as can be to begin with. When the table gets flipped over, the table goes from being in the middle of the room, magically, you know, by an invisible man, gets flipped over, but it lands on the left side of your room, so the sound is over there. But again, the engagement of the entire room, it's, if that was just a table alone and everything else was shut off, it would sound pretty cool. But now with the entire room engaged, it sounds awesome because you're like, you're paying attention, but you're scared out of your mind. It's such a cool scene. But moving on to 1 hour, 5 minutes and 25 seconds, this scene here is where we get to hear the suit, you know, firsthand. She's sneaking around Adrian's old house or his house. It's very quiet and she comes upon the lab, I guess you'd call it, with the suit in it. She activates the suit. So you get to hear that noise that we talked about earlier, or that I talked about earlier, on the back right side of your room. You heard those little noises. Well, now you're going to get, it fills your entire room. The score ramps up, but then you can hear all those little, I guess those are cameras, making all of their little, you know, focus adjustments and everything. So you get to hear that, but it actually goes all around your room. Your rear channels are engaged, your obviously your fronts, your sides, your overheads, and the score is going, but it's pretty cool. And then they bring the focus up and down as the scene plays out. And then of course it quiets down. But as it's playing out, you get to hear that, like I said, you get to hear those little cameras or whatever from the suit, which always amazes me. Like I've said in other podcasts as well, is like your whole room is engaged with the score, but then you can still make out those little distinct high pitched noises and give you some localization, which was cool in the scene I talked about just before this. And now this scene, and then this scene quiets down, let it play out. Goes to about 1 hour, 6 minutes and 20 seconds or so. Let it play out because it quiets down. And then you get that nice little jump scene because I think his name is Zeus, the dog. He barks at you, but he barks at you from the left rear of your room. And it makes you jump. It makes you jump and look back. It's a really nice use of a dog bark here. Then at 1 hour, 8 minutes and 5 seconds, she's hiding in the closet and she looks down. It's been very quiet as she's sneaking around. She's hiding and she looks down. You see that footprint and then she tries to get out of there and your room comes alive again. And it's another jump scene. But what's fun about this one is the dog Zeus shows up again and he runs in from the left side of your room and you can hear him coming. But like I said, all the while the score is ramped up. Everything is ramped up. The bass is, there's a lot. I mean, I've said it so many times, but there's so many cool bass scenes here where your seat just is vibrating. It's meant to scare you. I can't even imagine what would this would feel like if I had bass shakers. Anybody with bass shakers experience in this movie must be just having a blast. But that's neither here nor there. If anybody happens to have any bass shakers, let me know. I'd love to know how they work. I've always been interested in them. But with the two subs, I feel like I'm getting it anyways, but maybe it could be even better. Moving along to 1 hour, 13 minutes and 49 seconds. This is a scene where Cecile is getting sedated and the bass that ramps up here, but then also that that high pitched noise that they put in there as well. And it sounds like it's up over your head. It's so high pitched. Almost like, you know, if you could put a visual to it, it'd be like a laser beam going across the top of your room. That's what it felt like to me. But you have that nice rumble vibration through your seat and you have the extreme high pitch at the same time. Just really, really cool use of an effect here while they're trying to sedate her and she's looking to where she thinks, you know, Adrian is. At 1 hour, 17 minutes, and 28 seconds, they transition from a meeting with Cecilia talking to James into, it's a shot of just like the side, backside of her head. And the ambient sound flips here too. It goes from the ambient sound of the room that she's in with James to this ambient sound. Very, very subtle difference, but you could tell she's in a different room now, which that I thought was pretty cool. But then she's being interviewed by a doctor, I believe. The doctor's voice comes from the left side or the right side of your room off screen. Very similar to that early scene where Cecilia was talking to James and he walked off on the left side. This scene plays out where the doctor starts out on the right side and then it kind of progresses as the scene goes to the voice moves to the middle of the screen, I believe. Twofold here is I love the transition between the very subtle sounds of the meeting room she's in with James and then the subtle sounds of this room. And then, you know me, I love a good pan. So you have the voice off screen. I thought that was pretty cool. Stuff like that is, it's a lot of fun where if you have a nice, nicely set, let's try that again. A nicely matched set of speakers. You can really get a good effect here. But also, this is another one of those things where if you're listening at reference level, those ambient sounds in the room, those quiet times in a movie really get amplified, pun intended, really get amplified here. And it's why I like to listen and watch a movie at reference level. It'll show you some flaws too when you're listening that high. If it's going to be too loud, you're going to be able to tell. And I like to at least go through a movie once at reference level. And if it's too much on me, then I'll turn it down on the second viewing. But this one here, I thought was really good at reference level. So many ambient sounds like this scene here and just flip between those two, go back and forth between those two meeting places and listen to the subtle differences in those rooms. But then from there, we move to, at least in the podcast here, we're going to move to another meeting room where Cecilia's meeting with Adrian's brother. And this is where everything is pretty much revealed. And it's like, if you have the baby, he'll come back. He'll wipe all this away. So you know Adrian's alive. What I made note of here is that the 1 hour, 23 minutes and 48 seconds, it's right after she takes the pen out. She's wiped the stuff off the desk. I mean, the scene's played out. You have the ambient sounds going on. But at the 48 second mark, pay attention to this very, very subtle low bass it's an undertone in this scene, and it starts to ramp up as the brother's getting up to leave. And if you're running two subs in an enclosed area, you're going to feel this little vibration that just shows up. And it's just building the tension in this scene. And it's like her anger is just building and she's holding this in, and you can feel it in your seat. It's just very, very subtle. It takes probably 12 to 15 seconds before it's very noticeable and you'll know that it's there. But it starts at the, like I said, at the 1 hour, 23 minute and 48 second mark. That's where it first appears, and then it slowly builds from there. And it's little stuff like this that, unless you're watching these movies over and over, you're probably not going to get that. But it is building the tension of the movie, which it's so cool. So many people don't even know how much is at play and how much they can be affected by the sounds in a movie and how many little sounds are in there. But this is a very, very subtle one. Let me know if you find it. Because I really enjoyed it. I love finding little things like that. At 1 hour, 26 minutes, and 42 seconds, we have There You Are. She's in the shower. She's pretending to kill herself. And right before, like, she has already stabbed herself. And right before she says, "There you are," you can hear the suit on the left side of your room. Pretty cool. And then the scene plays out and she stabs him in the chest, I believe. It's something like that. But this is where you do get a nice chest thump. The punch matches and you can feel it a little bit in your chest. And then she slams him against the wall. The fight ensues and we have, you know, great action in this scene. Great use of discreet sounds around the room. But I like that little noise from the suit. And then you have her go, there you are. But you heard it first on the right or left side of your room. And as this scene plays out, they get into the hallway. Great pans here. Great bass. It's just an epic scene, really, as it plays out for the rest of the movie here. At about the 1 hour, 28 minutes and 26 second mark, we have a great pan between Cecilia and a guard. She's at the front middle of your screen, and then the camera pans away and her voice follows to the right and down the side. Then he gets shot or shoots himself, the guard that is. But right before he shoots himself, you can hear the suit again. And that suit comes up at like on the left side of your room, left rear. And this is the brother, I believe, that's in the suit. Oh, maybe not. Maybe this is Adrian. I forget exactly. Either way, grabs the guard's hand and the guard shoots himself. Nice gunshot and a nice solid punch to the face, knocking the guard out. Then the chase progresses to the stairwell at 1 hour, 29 minutes and 53 seconds. And the score is really high here. It's ramped up. But again, you can hear the difference in sound of the room. She goes from the hallway to the stairwell and the echoes kind of change here. Pretty cool. But I love the score here. The tension is really being built. She's about to run out into the rain, which is a really cool effect. You have the nice rain coming from above. Your overheads are engaged here. Your entire room is engaged this entire time. But the scene progresses to, you know, she's looking for the Invisible Man. I don't know which guy it is. I can't remember off the top of my head right now. She's looking for the Invisible Man. The scene progresses underneath the open minivan, which you would expect he's in there. But it's a great place for him to hide. You know that because now he's not being hit by rain. You can't see the rain, the difference in the raindrops. So, and of course, we have a nice jump scene here at 1 hour, 32 minutes and about 30 seconds. Your whole room is engaged and then boom, the bass comes alive. You feel it in your seat. Another great jump scene. Then at 1 hour, 35 minutes and 5 seconds, say, this is where I think it's probably the best, deepest, rumbly bass in the movie. And this is the car chase where she's chasing them down. And when they show cars going by, I mean, there's some great pans of cars going down the sides of your room and stuff. The overall bass here, it shakes everything at a different frequency than that earlier bass, the sweeping, you know, effect that they've been doing throughout the movie. It is really deep here. It is really, really strong. You can really feel it in your seat, feel it in your chest. Probably the deepest bass in the movie. Then at 1 hour, 37 minutes and 30 seconds, we have Sydney and James fighting off, which now I remember is the brother because this is where he's about to die. Hey, we're in spoilers. This is where James is, you know, fighting him off. He's getting dragged down the hall. Some great panning sounds here, some great fight sounds going on around your room. But the score here and the way that there's certain instruments feels like they're circling above your head, circling around the room, like doing laps going around your room. It's a really cool effect of the instruments in the score. I don't know which instruments they are, but it's pretty cool how they're moving over your head all the while you have the engagement of the entire scene itself, which you're watching unfold in the hallway. And we know how that scene plays out. Great scene, great use of effects. Cecilia ends up killing the brother, and then it goes quiet for a while. When we play out, now we're at the scene at 1 hour, 49 minutes and, you know, say 20 seconds or so. We go to that scene where she's sitting at the table with Adrian. She's about to, if you know, we're in spoilers, she's going to kill him, right? Listen to the creak in the floorboard at exactly 1 hour, 49 minutes and 26 seconds. And this is one of those things, if you're not listening at reference level, I don't know if you hear it. But you see him turn his head and he looks to it, to the left side of your screen. You hear that floorboard, like she's invisible. She's in the suit now. And you hear the little creak. Then all of a sudden he picks up the knife and slices his own throat. Obviously, you know that's her, but that little tiny sound that's been building, because this whole scene, we're right back at the beginning of this movie started with the waves, started with her getting out of bed, and you had the ambient sounds of the waves outside. Well, this scene here plays out very much the same, but instead of escaping, she actually kills him. But I love that little creak in the floorboard. So cool. And then he looks to it and then kills himself. Obviously, that doesn't show up on the audio that James is listening to in the car, but such a cool scene, such a cool movie. I apologize again for disliking this movie, because I always thought it was a great movie for surround sound. And again, like I said, I'm not 100% crazy about the picture of it. But this movie to me is more about the sound and what they did in here with the sound. It's really, really well done and a roller coaster ride, because there are so many quiet scenes in this movie. I really enjoyed this movie. I'm calling this another reference movie for sound, because I broke down as many as I could. I know there's more. If you have more, let me know. You can tweet at me at BrightsideHT, or you can email me at BrightsideHomeTheater@gmail.com, or leave comments on the website underneath the podcast. That'll work too. But yeah, this movie was so much fun. Such a great start to October. And such an interesting take on The Invisible Man. Really, really enjoyed it, especially with the new glasses I have. So that'll do it for this week. Thanks to everybody for contributing. Thanks to Nelson for the amazing theater. I'll be back next week with another theater, another horror movie, or at least what I consider a horror movie, and we'll have some more fun. So thanks everybody for listening. Have a great weekend. Have a great week. I will see you next week. I know it's getting spooky out there, but don't forget to go push play. Hey Fred. This has been a Hey Fred production with theme music by Jeff Bernhardt and Throne Vault Productions.